Welcome to Sunset Conversations, a BullfrogEntertainment.com production. I am your host, Papa Mark Lichterman, along with my partner, production coordinator, Mark Florkowski. On the 15th and 30th of each month, we will present you with an interesting and entertaining topic. One exception, that pesky February will be the 28th. Our podcast is a mixed bag of our daily life experiences as they relate to us and all of you. We look at personal observations. These may include such topics as fruits, coffee, teenage relationships with grandparents, traffic, vacations, daily frustrations, and joys. Our goal is to show the audience how ridiculous, silly, and of course joyful our lives can be. Each episode will end with a big smile, like when eating ice cream. Please enjoy our Sunset Conversations as we take you through the journey of life. Send your questions, comments, and suggestions to info@bullfrogentertainment.com. Hurry, hurry, hurry! We only need one more! Grab it with your teeth! Did you guess?
Wait. What's going on?
You didn't guess what's going on?
No.
Well, it's Halloween and...
Oh.
Yeah.
That explains why it's getting darker out at night.
Oh, yes. And we're bobbing for apples!
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. And hey, we'll talk about those bobbing apples as we develop our Halloween story.
Oh, I promise you, I know we will.
But first, hey, look into my bag. I've got some of the greatest candy I've ever gotten. I've even got a corn ball.
I don't know what to say.
I myself am a personal lover of, I guess it's old school. Other people will have other old school candies.
Right.
But I do like the Snickers, the Milky Way, the Three Musketeers, and like, who doesn't like a Reese's peanut butter cup?
Well, I don't see any of that sour sugar candy, you know, the gummies and the
Starburst. I'm not into the snakes with all the sugar on it and the gummies and the, I've never.
Regardless.
Yeah.
They're all just a bag of
the
sugar.
Jawbreakers. Mm-hmm. Remember the Jawbreakers?
Yeah.
Be like the size of a shooting marble. And some would be bigger, like a cue ball. They made the giant Jawbreakers even.
So what's going on with today's podcast?
Just insane. So today's podcast, if you haven't realized, is on Halloween. And strangely enough, it's our 13th podcast.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is.
You know, and it's kind of cool that it's about Halloween because there's superstition with both.
Right.
There's a little bit of a dark side with both. It's mysterious.
Yes.
And so, hey, let's go.
Let's go. You know, and we did not plan it to be number 13.
Nope.
So we're going to take you into a tour of Europe and go back about 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, today, Halloween is a big commercial deal. You know, it's expensive and with very creative costumes, super scary, spooky houses, you know, big parties, of course, lots of candy. And hey, even my wife, you know, she's Belizean, as I've said before, and they make what's called a black soup.
Black soup.
Which is soup that's really black, and because of the seasoning they use.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, they put peeled, of course peeled, hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, I'm glad they peeled them.
So you have these white, hard-boiled eggs floating in the soup with chicken in there.
Right.
She, though, for Halloween, cuts eyes and a nose into the hard-boiled egg.
Oh.
And so there they are looking at you in the bowl. It's like so cool. Yeah.
I don't like whatever I'm eating looking back at me.
I even did a TikTok on that. So
yeah, it's like opening a can of sardines and they're all looking at you.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like what? Creepy. So crazy. You know, and of course, always looking back, Mark, I'm sure I know you did the same thing. Our kids always at school had the parade and we had the, you know, stand outside and freeze our butts off, or if you were lucky enough, it was an indoor parade around the gymnasium. And today we continue that with grandkids and that.
For sure.
Always enjoying the day. It's, you know, there's been some big changes from the early history of Halloween. And
well, I hope so.
Yes, it's not.
Hope we're making progress.
Okay. We will learn, of course, that, you know, interesting enough, it was back about 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Halloween.
That was when
is,
you were a kid, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we were just real youngins then. And I think we realized that the original Halloween had to do with the harvest and the onset of winter and all that. From there, it gets spooky and kooky.
Well, join us as we visit the history of Halloween.
Yes. And now, let me get back to that bag of candy. I got to pick all that loose candy corn out the bottom of my bag.
Oh, yuck. I can't eat that.
So, the Celtic festival of Samhain, which actually is the predecessor to Halloween, It was associated with apples, and this is where it gets a little weird. It also was associated with love, marriage,
wow,
and believing that their magic could reveal one's romantic destiny.
Oh, only if it was true.
Right? Halloween was a romantic time originally.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the apple in romance.
Wow.
That, now bring in the Romans, the conquerors, right?
The bad guys?
One thing that the Celtics were at a festival going on, the Romans, though, of course, took all of that, conquered the Celtics, and they merged their harvest festival, which was, of course, for one of their goddesses, Pomona, who, of course, is the goddess of orchards.
There you go.
So they melded that together, and that basically cemented the apple for many years as a symbol of fertility and abundance.
That's another thing. I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
I had no idea.
You know, Julius Caesar conquered those lands
back
in 43 AD.
Wow.
That is 2,000 years ago. That's quite amazing.
That's scary.
Yeah, okay.
That's Halloween, right?
Ooh.
Apples and not pumpkins.
All right.
That was the thing, apples.
Well, we'll give the apples some credit.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, and then talking about apple bobbing, which we think is like a 1950s kind of thing, apple bobbing, you know, you see it in the movies from back then. I remember seeing
that. I'm sorry,
that.
Buddy, but I think that, you know, apple bobbing just makes me feel like it's lame.
Yeah, and yet it goes back 2,000 years almost.
Yeah.
So crazy. Young unmarried people, couples, well, they weren't couples yet, I guess, would attempt to bite apples that were floating on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or hanging from a string.
Oh, wow.
And the outcome would predict the future of their love. Success on the first try usually meant true love and an early marriage.
Oh, that made some people happy.
While the guy that was biting and biting and biting and just couldn't grab that apple, many, many fails, well, that spelled romantic disappointment.
Okay. Well, it saved him from the heartbreak of being dumped.
Mark, how about we take off to America for a moment?
I'm ready.
All right. And then we'll go back to Halloween history.
Good.
Because there's a lot of it.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, hey, the immigrants, those immigrants that came to America, they brought their traditions to North America. And by the 1800s, Halloween was actually embraced. They had parlor games. They did Halloween parties.
Oh, I like Halloween parties.
Autumn gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then you can have your party. And Halloween began just for a moment to start losing its mystical undertones, but retained a sense of, let's call it, playful fortune telling.
Yeah.
Right?
You think it's harmless.
Why not? And then going back to the history of Halloween, it's going to get very interesting. Halloween history is actually a fascinating blend of ancient rituals, joyful festivals, and delightfully strange traditions that have evolved over the centuries. Remember, going back 2,000 years, and into what's today's celebration of creativity and, of course, candy and spookiness.
All right. I'm ready for it.
Hey, ancient origins and evolution. Back to the original Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween traces its roots, as we said, to the Celtic festival of Samhain.
Right.
Okay. Celebrated over 2,000 years ago, as we said,
mm-hmm.
in the areas known as Ireland, United Kingdom, and Northern France.
That was the neighborhood that Julius Caesar kicked all that butt.
See, that makes sense, because I wondered, what happened to Southern France? They didn't celebrate? But now you know. Okay, so the Celtics, to them, Samhain, it kind of, I don't know, it was the end of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
It was the onset of winter.
Yep.
And it was a time where the boundaries between the living and the dead were believed to be at the thinnest.
Hey, that sounds pretty cool.
Right? Pretty cool. It allowed the spirits to roam the earth.
Even better.
That's getting a little scary now. So what do people do? Well, they light bonfires.
Oh, is somebody afraid of the dark?
That helps, right? That takes away the spookiness. Well, not enough. They also wore disguises of animal skins.
There you go.
Mm.
Wolves, bears.
Wolves, bears. No Batman, no Superman. Not yet.
No G.I. Okay. Joe.
No G.I. Joes. They put ashes on their face. Oh, interesting. That became makeup, I guess, later mm-hmm. on, right? And all of this was to ward off the spirits.
Yeah, football players rub dirt on their face.
Right, yeah.
I think they call it whatever. Hey,
and it worked really good until Christianity came along.
Well, they had to sooner or later.
Here they come.
It's another Roman invention, isn't it?
Romans are done. The Christians are here. And they spread the early church that incorporated rituals
mm-hmm.
back into Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, they came up with All Saints Day,
there
November 1st, with the night before becoming known as All Hallows Eve,
mm-hmm.
and eventually Halloween.
Halloween, there you have it. And what's really funny is that there's another, Christian day that's celebrated, same day after November 2nd. It's called All Souls Day, and that's for the rest of us who aren't saints.
Ah, oh, interesting.
So, woo.
Wow.
Might have to look out for the Grim Reaper.
We get the candy and the spirit stone. Well, then there's all course the strange, the unusual things that have evolved over Halloween.
This is our forte.
Right? And why not start with the jack-o'-lanterns?
I like this.
But you might think it's a pumpkin. No, it's not. It's a little quirky. It's one of those traditions that began in Ireland
mm-hmm.
where turnips were carved.
A tradition that involves turnips.
Yeah.
Turnips. Wow.
Oh, imagine that. They're sitting there. They're carving turnips to frighten away the evil spirits.
Well, I can see how that works, because it's just frightening to know that you're carving a turnip.
And I think you have some information on this, because all of that was inspired by the legend of Stingy Jack.
Oh, you want me to tell you about Stingy Jack? This guy is like really, he's solid. I like this guy. He's my man.
Uh-huh.
For this guy actually outsmarted, this is the legend, he outsmarted the devil not once, but twice.
Wow.
Scary. And the rest of the story is when he dies, he doesn't go to heaven or hell. How about that?
What?
So, I don't know. Did Satan feel sorry for him? But the story goes on that Satan gives him a glowing coal inside of a carved out turnip so he can find his way around in the dark.
That's a great story, by the way.
Thank you.
When the Irish immigrants did finally arrive in America, they're smart. They switched from the turnip to the much more plentiful and, need we say, easier to carve
mm-hmm.
pumpkin.
Well, who could blame them?
Oh, my goodness. There's the arrival of the pumpkin.
And I'm glad they did.
And, hey, that, of course, gave rise to the glowing grins and the mm-hmm. filling of the porches today.
Hey, full disclosure, carving pumpkins is a fun thing to do.
It is. Oh, man, I love the smell of an inside of a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
Some people hate it. Some people don't like to stick their hand in the middle of it. I love squiggling around and that aroma of a pumpkin.
Messy's fun.
To me, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then they continued with costume wearing, even in the Americas. The spirits that led the people to dress in disguises 2,000 years ago were still joyfully portrayed once the immigrants came to America. And it, slowly morphed into parties, like we've said.
Mm-hmm.
And people became everything from Ghosts too. Yes. Superheroes. How can we leave out the superheroes?
Those
right?
parties and that romantic right. role play.
Yes. Yes. You know, trick-or-treating. Okay. That was actually rooted with the British.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew this. And the Irish, they had a custom called souling and guising. Hey, people went door to door. That sounds familiar. And they exchanged either performances or prayers or mm-hmm. treats. Look at that, treats.
Yeah.
Hey, the practice in America continued. Children joyfully run around the neighborhoods, railing the cry of trick or treat.
Oh, I love wow. answering the door on that day, don't you?
That's so the doorbell rings, trick or treat.
I always try to be that neighbor that has the good candy.
Yes, the best candy, the best house. And of course, then you have the mischief part of the night. Most of the pranks are basically harmless.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I think, and I don't know if it goes on today, but in Detroit, it was called like the Fire Night or Burning Night.
Yeah,
night
I hope they stopped that.
I truly hope that they did stop that. But mischievous is involved with Halloween.
Did you do any pranks or mischief when you were a kid?
You know, there was a time where, yes, we did kind of kick mm-hmm. a pumpkin in here and there.
Okay.
We threw eggs, interesting, but not at the houses.
Mm-hmm.
We threw them at each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a competitive thing, wasn't it?
And yes. And it like all a balloon stopped fight. Because an egg thrown at someone you would think would just crack easy, right?
It should.
Not so, grasshopper. We all learned that if the point of the egg hit you,
mm-hmm.
it did not crack till it hit the ground.
Okay.
And that hurt.
All right.
Okay.
So you had a little minor bruise.
So after each one of us had that opportunity to feel the point hit us, that was the end of our egg throwing days.
Well, I had a lot of competitive friends, and I'm going to say right now, I'm grateful that none of them hard-boiled their eggs.
Yeah, that would be, that would not be good. Hey, Mark, are you ready for global flavors and some unusual customs?
Oh, you're just teasing me. What are you talking about?
Hey, let's go to Mexico.
Okay.
The Day of the Dead, November 2nd.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
And that was, what did you say in the last ghost in that? It's after...
Oh, it's, you know...
All Saints?
It's All Souls Day.
All Souls
Day. So that would be the Day of the Dead. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a dark day, you know. And, you know, with the Day of the Dead, you have a lot of dark images, you know, skulls. And,
okay.
You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's why they've also intertwined that all with the Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
They have
makes sense.
Parades.
Mm-hmm.
And here they get a little fun, of course. Sugar skulls. And all night partying, you might say, as they remember those who have passed away in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's go across Europe. Well, Europe has Halloween marked by all kinds of oddities. This is a really weird one. I had to note this one.
Mm-hmm.
Hiding knives.
Oh, boy. Where's that at?
Okay. They hide in Germany, excuse me. They hide knives. And it's not for the people that are trick-or-treating. It's to keep the ghosts safe.
Keep the ghosts safe?
Keep the ghosts safe.
Yeah. So, like, if I had a switchblade, I'd want to stab a ghost?
I guess. And that way he'd know where a knife was hiding and be able to get you first.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now I understand.
It's very, you know.
That's probably a very good practice.
They have Spanish pumpkin nights, or the Italians have cookies that they eat in memory of the dead.
Hmm.
So, you know, all across Europe, they have all these different ways of celebrating Halloween. And now some foods.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting enough, Halloween, and I think we might have mentioned this earlier, it's really more like Valentine's Day, more romance.
Oh, well.
Halloween.
You really can't get people involved unless there's food
right?
or romance and both.
In both.
I mean, it's got to be a winner.
I mean, here you have fortune-telling foods.
Oh, gosh.
So there's something, I don't think I've ever had this, but I know other religions or people have do this, is the Barm Brock cake.
Hmm.
They do this in Ireland. It's a fruit cake. Well, why not? Of course, it's fruit cake season by that time already. And in it are hidden objects. Here comes the romance. Like a ring,
mm-hmm.
like a coin,
mm.
a cloth. cloth. That's kind of weird.
Okay.
Here's a clean kitchen towel for you that was cooked in my fruitcake.
Wow.
Getting a slice with any of these, the ring, of course, is marriage. Hmm. The coin is for wealth.
Yeah.
And so on. They don't want to, I don't know what the towel is for again.
Well, I could tell you, I'm no fan of fruitcake. But this could be a way I could consider trying some. Especially, yeah. If I'd be, trying for the coin.
Yeah, I hope. Otherwise, it'd be like, what was it growing up? They had the, in the Tide boxes and stuff. And they would sell kitchen. They would get tickets or something. You'd win the kitchen towels.
Oh, boy.
So, I don't know. Then there's Kol Kanan. This is a weird one, too. Mashed potatoes that are mixed with kale and onions. And then it's served, here we go, with coins buried inside.
Are you still in Ireland?
I think so. Coins signal the future, the prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes rings were used, again, to predict marriage. Okay.
Well, here you go. I'm skipping the fruitcake totally. I'll take the mashed potatoes.
This is can you imagine eating mashed potato? You could swallow a coin like, look.
Oh, I don't know.
But we're married. That seals it. I mean,
yeah, some future father-in-law's got this one made.
it's very, very crazy and doesn't seem very Halloween-ish, but that was Halloween.
You got any more of these crazy stories?
Well, how about the Nutcrack Night?
Ouch. It sounds like it hurts.
Of course, you need two nuts, one for each potential couple.
No.
the nuts were roasted in the fire. This is the critical part. Steady burning meant true love. Popping signaled quarrels. This could be a fighting marriage.
Yeah, I think you'd get a little bit of both from all the nuts that you threw in the fire.
And if that ain't enough, if either nut were to just fall away, the couple would break up before the marriage.
Wow.
That's pretty nutty.
You got a fireplace in this place? Let's go grab a couple nuts, throw them in there, see what happens.
I just don't understand this. Then we get to rituals and superstitions if cracking nuts aren't enough.
Well, that was very strange. Now we're going to get stranger.
It's cabbage pulling.
Oh.
You want to go this Halloween and do some cabbage pulling?
No. It's bad enough. It sounds worse than throwing eggs.
Oh, it gets worse. Because you don't just walk out into a cabbage patch field and start pulling. No. You have to be blindfolded. Yes. And young. Young couples would pull up cabbages for Halloween blindfolded.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've done that. What do you do? Go home and cook the cabbage? Not yet. First, you have to look at the shape and the earth. It's clinging to the root.
So we're going to blame it on the cabbage.
Totally. Mm-hmm. It's not the pull. Well, if you pull it up one way, maybe you can scheme things more in your favor, a little shake. But remember, you're blindfolded.
Mm-hmm.
So the clinging soil in that predicted the future spouse's wealth and personality. Okay, but there was still one more chance that true love could be found.
There you go. Happy house, happy spouse.
Yes, and the only other thing you could do with this cabbage is cook it and eat it.
Okay. No coleslaw.
No coleslaw. That'd be boiled. That's it, fully cooked and eating. And there was your last reprieve, if you so needed one. Future romance would be bitter or sweet.
Oh, wow.
Depending on the cabbage.
Wow, it just blows my mind. Next time I have some sauerkraut, I'll be thinking about this.
I mean, this is pretty insane. Then we go to soul cakes and other offerings.
All right. This might be very interesting. What's that all about?
Well, they start small cakes, so I guess you can eat more than one. And they were baked as offerings for... Oh, yeah, the wandering spirits or the dead. There's a difference, I guess, between the wandering spirits or the dead.
Night of the Living.
Yes. Well, maybe they'll find some knives and they'll be able to cut the cakes.
Insane. That's crazy.
Believing that these small cakes would nourish them and prevent harm to the living, eating food at doorways or grave sites was common in Europe.
Yeah.
And it would pacify the spirits.
Well, you know, I heard that a lot of bribery goes on in Europe. Why not bribe ghosts while you're at it?
Can you imagine that? All this food outside everyone's door. Mm-hmm. The rats must have had a heck of a time Halloween. They loved it.
The rats?
That was the spirit. Oh, the spirit ate all the cookie. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that rat. And then, again, leaving food, if not for the spirits, why not for the fairies?
Mm.
Some regions, they set plates of food out, and they put it at the fair of a fairy tree. Have you ever seen a fairy tree?
I don't believe in fairies.
I don't know. A fairy tree. I guess that must be right next to the acorn house that the fairies live in.
Oh, wow. This is very strange.
And yeah, it appeases the fairies and their ancestors, and it protects the entire household of the family that is feeding the fairies. I like it.
Well, that makes me think that somebody feels guilty.
Now, one more thing that's very important. We must remember avoiding fruits after Halloween. Fruits, you say? Yes. In Ireland, at some point, people believed that after Samhain, which we talked about earlier, blueberries and apples, oh, the love apple, okay, left on trees were spoiled by the evil spirits.
It had nothing to do with the frost?
Not according to them. Eating the blueberries and the apples, of course, it's considered bad luck and might invoke the devil or these evil spirits once again. Well, Mark, I think now the most important part, of course, Halloween, the candy.
Oh, okay. Well, let me go grab my bag.
Yes, bags and bags of candy. And yes, candy finally does come to America. And popular for Halloween in the United States. Yes, we all know that. Back in the 1950s.
Oh, I was just in time.
Right? We just made that. That's commercially produced, finally, individually wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, because there was fear that maybe the loose stuff that people were giving them might not be safer, healthy for them, or, I don't know, healthy, no. But, you know, they would do things like popcorn balls, which I talked about, cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember getting cookies, and we didn't think twice. We ate them.
If
it looked like a good cookie and you kind of knew the house, you ate them.
I think we all knew our neighbors better.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, those things were handed out. And that actually started all the way back in, like, the 1930s.
Okay.
And then manufacturers saw an opportunity. Market candy.
Yeah.
And boom. Okay.
Well, do you remember the candy store? So much candy to buy in that store. That was like a treat.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And it was like a penny candy store.
So which came first, Halloween or the candy store?
I'm trying, yeah. So anyhow, the tradition of giving sweets actually can be traced all the way back to the medieval souling, which we talked about for just a second there. But candy really only became a central feature starting like in the 20s, the 30s,
well,
and like I said, exploded in the 50s.
Yeah, I'm really glad that came about because you go back to that souling thing that we were talking about, you know, a couple of 300, 400 years ago, you had to sing for your treat.
Right.
And I wouldn't have gotten very much.
No, I would have gone home with an empty bag. As Charlie Brown usually got, I would have gotten the rock. For sure, the rock. And then, hey, the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The wild, awesome 70s that brought candy. You don't even know how much candy was candy aisles, candy, mm-hmm. all kinds of candy. Just variety's endless, right?
Yeah, talk about store bought. Where do you buy your candy now?
Walmart? Sometimes Walmart, sometimes Walgreens, sometimes Costco.
Wherever it's the cheapest for the
whatever I need it. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I look at what's in it because it's got to be the good candy, the one I like.
Absolutely. It identifies you with all your neighbors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they got the sizes.
The house with the good candy.
Right. The minis. I like the minis because I don't feel guilty eating a mini or two.
Right. Okay. And probably the people who are trick-or-treating are not so happy with the mini because they're going to have to eat four or five of them to be satisfied.
That could be. And I give them a handful. You know, I dump a handful in. But yet I know from the grandkids the candy they really like and the houses they know that have it mm-hmm. are the ones that they say, they give the full candy bars.
Yeah, candy bars. Mm.
Well, that ain't happening here. So, hey, folks, it is almost Halloween, and mm-hmm. we've reached the conclusion time.
Yay.
Yeah, woo. And I think just we need to kind of just let the world know that, you know, is Halloween really unsafe? Is candy, in fact, that's unsafe? Fact or fiction, for real. Every year you hear it, right?
Multiple choice tester, fact or fiction?
Yes.
Fact I'm or going fiction, for fiction.
Right. And when you get down to it, research shows, true research now, that there are very few documented cases of unsafe Halloween candy all across America.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, any that are documented, usually the people knew the people and it involves someone that was, again, known rather than a random stranger. People aren't handing out poison candy to right. strangers coming to their house. I'm not going to mention this dude's name, but just, bad stuff can happen. There was a guy that he poisoned his kids.
Wow.
Putting cyanide in their candy. Okay.
That's the worst.
But that's the one guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So again.
Yeah, right.
It's got awful terrible. Candy is safe, okay? Mm-hmm. For the most part, it's be smart, it's safe. One that was a non-lethal prank in this instance, by all people, was a dentist in California. Okay? This guy, he put laxatives laced with candies into his children's candy, mm-hmm. causing them to get sick. But no one died, but imagine that. Going to the bathroom the whole time. And so, again, a rare, rare instance.
So, takes all kinds to make a village,
right?
Boy.
So, it's basically, Halloween is an unbelievable, fun time, great time. Mm-hmm. Be smart. Check your candy. Hey, of course, limit the amount you eat if you can.
Okay. Yeah, too much candy is probably more deadly than
jump in. You can do like Jimmy Kimmel has and steal your kids' candies and watch the reaction that they get. That's pretty interesting. Most importantly, again, for you, and if you do have kids, because you don't have to have kids to celebrate Halloween.
No.
Enjoy all that makes Halloween what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Candy is safe. And just in case you're out trick-or-treating and should get in any kind of trouble and see a ghost, just remember, Casper really is a friendly ghost.
Yeah, he wants to make friends.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween. Thanks for joining us on Sudsec Conversations, where curiosity croaks louder. We hope today's episode sparked a smile, stirred a thought, or simply gave you something unexpected to remember. If you enjoyed this eclectic episode, share it with a friend who loves a good mental detour. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss a sunset with us. Want more? Hop over to bullfrogentertainment.com for show notes, links, and a few surprises. Whether you're a longtime listener or just tuning in, we're so glad you're here. Until next time, keep your curiosity croaking and your heart wide open.
Good day.
Good day.